You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Coming up to 18 minutes after 12 on Zoomer Radio, this is Goldhawk Fights Back for You, where we invite to the airwaves once again Phil Edmonston. Hi, Phil.
Hey, hi. How are you doing?
Well, I'm not so bad. And you?
Okay, but I don't know about those car prices.
Gee whiz, yeah.
In Canada and the States. Ouch.
Some of the differences in prices are incredible, as a matter of fact. Are they not?
They really are. I mean, this is amazing. If you get a vehicle like an Acura MDX, which is a pretty good vehicle.
Yeah.
In Canada, we'll pay about $52,600, but just across the border, we'll pay $43,000. I mean, come on, $1,000, and you're just. I mean, it seems to me that 75%, that's the figure I've heard,
yeah,
of Canadians live within about an hour's drive of the border.
Well, yeah.
And Transport Canada has made it easier for people to go down and scout around and see what they want, and to pick up a new car or used car, as long as you just fill out some other paperwork.
So it's easier than it used to be. Is that what you're saying?
It's easier than it used to be, and tens of thousands, at one time it was 100,000, maybe going back up there,
yeah,
of Canadians are actually crossing the border because they don't want to pay the higher prices. Mostly, it's not for the compact, small, cheap cars,
yeah,
where you've got the big price differences of $10,000 or $15,000, sometimes 30% of the
wow,
vehicle's price,
yeah,
as with the larger ones, the fully loaded trucks, the exotic sports cars, the hybrids, vehicles which have a lot of, luxury value. These are kinds of, and sports cars, of course, that people are getting their money and taking it across the border. And I don't feel good about that because, my God, we need as much business as we can keep in Canada. But, you know.
Yeah, but really if we can't. But if we can't get people's attention by going south of the border to buy the cheaper car, thereby trying to, you know, get the dealers to wake up and sell the cars at the same price either on either side of the border, what else are we supposed to do?
We're supposed to be nice Canadians who don't. Hey, you won't believe this, but a senator, Pierrette Ringuet, she didn't like this, and she invited representatives. This is about a story about a week old.
Yeah.
She invited representatives from the big three in Canada. By the way, Ford doesn't care where you bought your car. They'll honor it.
Yeah.
GM wants you to have the cars built. If it were built 6 months before you bought it in the States, that's okay. If it's got 12,000 kilometers, yeah.
Oh, is that the deal? Oh, good grief.
And Chrysler doesn't want you to bring any vehicles into the
period.
Okay. Boy, that's awfully nice after all the money we gave those.
Well, they came begging. They came begging for money. Well, not everybody, but some came begging for money.
Yeah.
Well, now, so what you're saying? Hang on, though. I'm getting confused here, and you know how easily that can happen. Now, different car companies have different policies about Canadians going south of the border to buy a car there, right?
You're exactly right. Now, to make it easier for you and for your listeners, I have a website that is put up by people actually who help you to do this. I'm not endorsing them. It's just that these are frequently asked questions.
Well, are they like
and
a broker?
Companies.
Are they like brokers?
This is broker as well as a seller of an information book. So I think they do two things.
Okay.
Publisher and brokers. But it's called www.u, just the letter U, you can import.
You can import?
You can import,
okay,
all one word,
yeah,
youcanimport.com.
There you go. Okay.
And there you'll find out what is the present policy of all these different car
manufacturers. Because they're different. They're all different.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. I mean, Ford, no problem. You know, Audi, no problem. And you run up against a Volvo. Well, we don't want you to buy anywhere. But if you do, we'll honor it. So it's a kind of, yes, well, maybe for some companies. Honda, oh my gosh, Honda doesn't want you buy anywhere but in Canada.
Oh, that's
right. It's going to be horrible.
Well, there really is no good. The problem is, or the reality of the situation is, there's no good excuse for that car to be priced differently on either side of the border.
Well, I know that.
And
you know that.
That's not
what they told Madam Ringgate, the senator, when she invited them. They said, we're not going to come.
Yeah.
We don't want to go. Essentially what Pierre Elliott Trudeau said when he said, go fuddle-duddle.
Yeah, that's right.
When a senator can't get that, who in the heck is going to get straight information? Oh, by the way, Honda, I've got to give them credit. They did say they had reasons for the difference in the cost. And they said that Canada's price, you know, we said about $12,000 on the car, was determined by a number of factors, including exchange rates, market conditions, Canadian-specific content, and the cost of doing business in two official languages. Help me out here. Help me out.
I call that balderdash, I guess. That would be a fairly good word for it.
Well, you're being kind. Yeah. I would be a little stronger. But how can they, Kia, I mean, and then they're going to complain. The dealers are going to complain. They're not getting this. My advice to your listeners and most Canadians is that, please, look, go to the library, pick up Lemonade, Car Guide. We've got, on the new cars, we've got the American prices and the Canadian prices, if you want to flip through and see if it's worth it. Go to the library. You don't have to buy the book. You can actually photocopy the pages. But the thing that's important is that
that's like writing,
the information's out there.
Yeah, it's like writing steal this book on your book in a way, you know?
Well, actually, it does get stolen fairly frequently, but it is fun. You take that information, you go to the dealer and say, hey, look, I don't want to go to the States. Look, Joe or Phyllis, can you bring me a price here that's closer to what it would cost in the States?
Yeah.
You know, a good discount, and I'll keep my business here in Canada with you. Some of the dealers will do it because they've got that kind of margin. Others won't do it. So those who won't do it, then shop elsewhere.
But don't you have to ask yourself, well, who's making the money? If there's a $12,000 difference in price, depending on which side of the border you're on, who's making all that extra money? The dealer?
Somewhat, but mostly it's the manufacturers.
Setting dealers, a different price, right?
No, that's right. The dealers get more money than they would have because their commission's based on the price of the transaction.
Yeah.
So they're going to get their cut. I mean, this is typical where you kind of get screwed in series here. Everybody goes up the line. The dealer gets you. Taxes will get you because you're going to pay a higher tax.
Right, of course.
And the manufacturers are going to get a big cut. But the thing which is so incredible and so distasteful about this whole thing is that the cost of pre-delivery inspection and the freight, you know, in Canada and everywhere else, you have to pay some money after you sign the contract.
Right.
It's double. For example, it usually hovers around $700 to $800 in the States. That's to prep the car and to transport it before you pick it up. In Canada, it's about $1,500. Now, what does that have to do with official languages? Because they have to say bonjour rather than good day?
I don't know. And the point is, this is a car that could have been made just down the road from where you're buying.
I know. Hey, listen, I don't know how they're going to justify this. They're going to kind of hide down, hunker down. But I do hope that the Senate, the senators, put them on the hot seat and my gosh, where is Thomas Mulcair? Come on, MVP.
You should be all over this story
like flies on carrion.
Well, they're busy with this budget thing, right? You got to call Tom Mulcair and tell him that, right?
I have to talk to him.
Yeah, you got to talk to him. You got to tell him a thing or two about this. These are the things that make people angry and the things that are unfair for Canadians.
This is very Canadian. I mean,
paying more?
That
we really
talk about our cars, our plants, politics, and sex.
Yeah, that's true. I guess
only one of those things can we fix.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
I'm not even going to go there. Okay. Now, it's fair to say, is it? Because this price shock thing has come up time and time again. We've talked about it, I think, years ago. It used to be a lot tougher to go south of the border. There were dealers who would say, oh, you're Canadian, I can't sell you a car. I guess some of them are still saying that. But it's generally speaking, it's an easier feat to accomplish than it used to be.
It is much easier to accomplish this right now, bringing the vehicles over, because the United States, of course, is in a recession. People are not buying many cars. And the dealers are saying, hey, when there's a free trade agreement, let's not play around. You want to buy the car? You're Canadian. Here, go ahead. And all these brokerage companies, which are all that you go to the internet and you'll see it just loaded with brokerage companies. They're at the border, and they are actually providing a service for a need which is really increasing, because, well, we in Canada, we don't have that extra money to spend anyhow, and it's just a principle of the thing that many people get really burned up about.
So are we going to get a car, if you go there and you do that, you're going to get a car where the speed's measured in miles per hour?
Yeah, actually what you'll have to do in some cases, you'll just have to go over, and they have garages on the other side of the border at one time, chain repairs, Canadian Tire were doing it, and they were authorized to do certain
to convert it. You mean?
Serious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you convert it to kilometers and a few other changes for safety, and that's it. And it's yours.
And the dealers, how well does it work? The dealers in Canada then will readily accept for service and honor warranty for the cars bought in the U.S.?
I gave a quick glance at this website that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you can import, yeah.
Yeah, I can import, or you can import.
You can.
And it was interesting. It was about half of the car companies were saying, no problem, you buy it there, then it's okay.
Yeah.
But the other half were saying no, and maybe, well, not quite the other half, but maybe about a quarter were simply saying, yes, you can if you do this.
Yeah.
So I would say the chances are the majority of vehicles, yeah, you can bring them in, but only about half of those have no strings attached whatsoever. But the strings do not cost you more money. It's just a question of maybe you should have a few more kilometer or miles on it before you bring it in.
It's not as if they're going to try to sting you for some kind of service fee or something like that.
No. And understand that the dealers, they want the service.
Yeah. And there's a lot of money in service, right?
Well, of course.
That's where the money is.
If you're going to get a car that needs a lot of servicing, has a bad record, you're really afraid of it, so you're going to buy a warranty, you shouldn't buy that car in the first place.
You mean like the Volvo?
I didn't say that.
No, don't get me in trouble.
Okay.
Phil Edmonston is here. We're talking about buying a car in the U.S. where they're a whole heck of a lot cheaper depending upon the car you're buying. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call, 416-360-0740. Or 866-740-4740.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
$12.35, the Lemonade Guy is here, Phil Edmonston. We're talking about buying cars, new cars in the U.S., where in many cases they're a whole heck of a lot cheaper than buying the same car in Canada. Got a lot of calls here, Phil, so let's get to it. Here's George waiting patiently, calling from Wellington. George, you have a comment or a question?
I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm a senior citizen, spent 6 months of the year in Florida, 6 months in Canada. I bought a new Chrysler car last year in Florida, paid all the taxes, registered it to my Florida address, brought it back to Canada, paid all the taxes, did all the government rules I had to, and brought it to Canada. Now Chrysler tells me there's no warranty on the car. I wrote a letter to the president of Chrysler Canada and to the president of Chrysler U.S., I got no comment back from U.S. after two letters. Chrysler Canada did phone me and told me that their policy is that you have no warranty if you bring a car into the country. This car also was made in Canada.
Yeah.
I asked them why the dealer didn't tell me
in
the States. He knew I was going to bring the car back to Canada. And number two, I paid for a warranty in the price of the car. How can you take that away from me?
Yeah. What about that, Phil?
Yeah, on that website I mentioned, youcanimport.com, they really go after Chrysler. They say Chrysler calls itself Canada's choice. And to make sure it stays that way, the company has elected to void your warranty if you import one of their vehicles from the United States. Chrysler is really hard on its customers here. The website suggests that when you're buying one of these vehicles, and by the way, you'll pay a lot less. We all know that. You'll also ask the dealer at that particular place in the States or a broker to deduct from whatever they're charging you for the warranty, because you may not get the warranty in Canada.
Well, so that's something you can do. I wouldn't have a warranty. I'd never heard that before.
Sure, yeah.
You know,
it's a little bit late for you here, because I don't even think you can use a small claims court against a company like Chrysler or the dealer here in Canada. But if you go down to the States frequently, where you purchased it, you could have a lot of fun in the small claims court saying, I was never told that I did not have this particular part of the contract respected. Therefore, I would like to have so much money as compensation. By the way, small claims court in the States are just as effective as those in Canada.
As here.
It was where your contract was signed.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's a good reason why you have to check out which companies will or will not give you the warranty.
Because it's so different, right? Yeah.
But it's all written out on this document that we have.
Okay, George,
yes.
You can still get your Chrysler serviced in the States, though, right?
No.
Not even in the States?
Not even in the States, because I exported the car to Canada.
Oh, so you killed all the warranty just by driving across the border.
That's right. I paid all government taxes in both countries.
I would ask for my money back. That portion of my money, which would go normally to
absolutely.
Warranty.
I think small claims court in the States might be a very interesting and entertaining way to while away some of your time in Florida. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, George. Thanks very, very much for that. That's awful.
I know.
You buy a new car and you wind up with no warranty.
You're kind of in purgatory, limbo. I mean, you're not
even purgatory. You're in limbo. Yeah.
Boy.
Here's John calling from Grimsby. John, you have a comment or a question for Phil?
Yes, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the days of the car transport carriers only able to carry three cars at a time. Now we see these vehicles carrying anywhere upwards to 12 cars at a time, and the delivery or service charge amounts to $1,500, maybe more.
That's right.
Now, back in those days, there was an incentive, and I had a cousin that came here from Manitoba to purchase a Ford, and he picked it up right at the Ford Motor Company in Oakville.
Yeah.
And the delivery charge at that time was only $125, so he saved himself a big chunk of change.
But you mean they still charged him at the factory door, but it was only $125?
That's right. It was just a fraction, because it paid him to come here and pick the car up.
Yeah.
Or likewise, you guys could have went to Oshawa and picked up a GM for the same little thing.
John, thanks very much for that story.
Dale is too young to remember those days.
Right. If I'm not too young, you're not too young. We've had this discussion. You can't do that today, though. You can't go to Ford in Oakville and say, I want to pick up my car now, right?
No, the dealers really put the pressure on, because you're taking profit away from them.
Well, that's one of the ways they
said,
that's one of the ways they make that's where their profit is. It may not be in the price they sold you the car at as much as some of the other add-ons, right?
That's right. And then the dealers will say, well, you know, we don't set the freight charge. It's the car maker. But really, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Here's Wayne calling from Hamilton. Wayne, what are your thoughts about this?
Well, I'm like a previous caller. I spend 5 months a year in Florida.
Yeah.
And there is some information that's coming across there that's just not up to par. I have a great, I really support APA, and they do a tremendous job. For example, last year I decided I was going to import a car, so I went to Buffalo, and I went to a Ford dealer, Toyota dealer, and a Mercedes dealer. They wouldn't sell me a car when they found out I was from Canada.
Really? Even Ford?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, they said, no, we're not going to sell you because you're too close to the border, and we're not going to sell you.
You're too close to the border.
So when I was down in Florida, I decided that I was going to buy, I was going to buy a Hyundai Veloster. The Veloster is a new car that was just introduced in 2012.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I purchased it, and I contacted Hyundai USA, and I said, okay, I'm importing this car back to, or exporting it back to Canada. Do I have any warranty?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I contacted Hyundai Canada. They both get back to me. Hyundai Canada said, no, you don't have warranty in Canada. And Hyundai USA said, you do have warranty, full warranty, but you have to take it back into the U.S. for service. Well, I'm only 50 miles from from a Hyundai dealer, so that's no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also found out that, for example, this car is not manufactured in North America. So if you don't get a vehicle manufactured in North America, even though it's Toyota or even a Ford or whatever, there's a 6.1% duty on top of that.
Oh, yeah, there would be, there would be, yes.
Yeah, yes. And then the other gentleman just said that it costs $1,500 to transport the car up. But you can get rates anywhere from $800 up to $1,000.
No, this is a dealer charge he's talking about.
Oh, the dealer.
That's
charge.
A dealer,
well, the dealer
charge.
Told me that he could get a he could get somebody to transport it up to Lewiston, New York, and I'd pick it up there for I think it was $900. I ended up getting it for $800, but
yeah, but that's a Wayne. That's a different thing. We're talking about when you buy at a dealer, even here in Canada, and the charge is like $1,500. Thanks very much for telling us that story, though. Wayne is just proof positive of how these rules are so different depending on the dealer, where he is in the States, and the company. Good grief, you need a manual.
It's a real jungle, and that's why I said you go online and find out what is happening right now.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, I made my own study about 20 years ago. I was trying to figure out is the amount of money that they charge you for freight, anything to do with the distance between where you are with a dealer and where the vehicle is, let's say, imported from or made from. And I found out that some of the vehicles from Japan at that time or from Europe actually cost about half of what they were costing from the manufacturers who were just in your back door.
So there's no relationship at all. Really is what is really. But look at the interesting story that Wayne had to tell, though. So his warranty is okay in the U.S., but it's not okay in Canada, unlike our other caller who blew his whole warranty because he bought a Chrysler.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief. Now, have you heard of the rule that if you're too close to the border, they can't sell you a car?
No.
Well,
look, Dale. What was this whole thing in Parliament called the free trade agreement? What the heck was that?
Well, I thought it meant, as silly me, I thought it meant free trade across the border. Didn't you?
Duh.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I get you. Okay. Phil Edmonston is here. 416-360-0740 or 866-740-4740. The lines are jammed, but keep trying. You might get through.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Buying across the border sounds like a good idea, but it's not necessarily that simple an issue. We have Phil Edmonston on the line talking about all of this. Quite a few calls here. Let me go to Warren in Scarborough. Warren, do you have a question for Phil?
Just a comment, a quick comment. That warranty thing was a bad double whammy, but a good double whammy is that you're also saving on the HST as well as the sticker price. So I don't think that government's going to go to bat for people to be able to purchase vehicles in the States more easily.
The government here isn't, no.
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, you're right.
They're collecting on the HST here, and they're not going to want to collect on a lower HST from the States.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You're exactly right, but to give the government credit, they did, through the Ministry of Transport, make it so easy to do the transaction and really cut down on the paperwork and even making sure that the vehicle responded to the safety code, the federal code, that, well, it really contributed to thousands and thousands of people shopping south of the border. And that's probably one of the few good things I've seen Transport Canada actually do.
Isn't that interesting? It seems kind of counterintuitive that the government would want to encourage shopping south of the border, but, you know.
Well, the government was getting a lot of heat because what we're talking about right now is not that hard for people to feel right in the pit of their stomach and say that's wrong.
Yeah.
And they were telling their members of parliament, and members of parliament just simply said, hey, look, let's make it easier for these people, but stay out of the way because we don't want to affect it one way or another.
So ironically, it's easier from a government point of view to do this than it is in dealing with some manufacturers, some of whom out and out prohibit the selling of the car to a Canadian anyway.
Well, that's right. And you, Dale, the funny thing is, even when you think you've won the battle, you've got to stay in Ottawa as a consumer advocate and watch them, because right after the Transport Canada doing this, the car makers were saying, well, you know, we don't think those cars will be as safe with your safety regulations, and they should be prohibited for this reason.
Yeah, right. These are pretty interesting stories being told here, I would say. Here's Art calling from Castroville. Art, what would you like to say?
Yeah, hi, Neil and Phil. It's Castroville, not Castroville. Be nice.
All right, now. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, my car is not so much about the price, and it's been a differential for years.
Yeah.
Mine's on a warranty. I purchased a new Hyundai Sonata made in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yep.
And that car in Canada carries 100,000-kilometer, 5-year warranty. The same car in the United States gives you 100,000 miles in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I called them and asked them why, and they said, better marketing. That's the answer I got, better marketing. So, like, who's stupid? They don't have the guns where I had to buy new vehicles, but we're stupid enough to go in and buy them, so I guess we deserve what we get.
Well, Art, that's a great cautionary tale. Art from Castroville. Yeah, there's some truth in what Art is saying, would you not say, Phil?
Oh, I would say so, but you have to laugh about some of this kind of weasel activity on the part of the dealers and manufacturers. Otherwise, you'll end up just crying over all the money we're spending that we shouldn't have to spend.
Yeah, here's Donna calling in from her cell phone. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Dale. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm in a little bind. I don't know if it's a similar topic, but I have a lease right now in a Honda CR-V, and I'm migrating to the States soon. So I have to give up this car before I go. But the dealer was trying to get me to turn it into a purchase and bring that car into the States. Now, what I'm thinking, there is going to be some implications for that in terms of the warranty and all of that, wouldn't it?
Well, I guess, Phil, what do you think about that?
Well, there could be. Once again, you've got a pretty good car to begin with. The CR-V has really been one of my top picks in my books for years.
Yeah.
But what you have to do is, with the manufacturer, you've got the manufacturer online on the internet, and you've got telephone numbers as well that you can call each manufacturer in the States and the one in Canada. I would suggest you talk to the two manufacturers on each side of the border and make sure that they tell you what they're going to make you responsible for, and then particularly on the warranty and anything else. And then you'll have a clearer idea.
Yeah, don't deal directly with the manufacturers in this case. Yeah, in the manufacturer. Yeah, thank you.
You're saying that I shouldn't be taking the car from the dealer.
Well, you should find out what the attitude is going to be in the U.S. towards warranty on the car. Oh, is that okay, not what you're saying, Phil?
That's the most important thing right now.
Yeah,
yes.
Thanks, Donna. Good luck with that. Boy, these things, these cars can be awfully complicated, can they not?
And expensive. We don't get you information.
Yeah, that's true. Here's Jack calling from Woodstock. Jack, what are your thoughts?
Hi there. Well, thanks for taking the call and enjoy this great subject. I just wanted to give an example of delivery charges. A few years ago in Ingersoll, where they build the Cami plant, Bill Suzuki, they had a dealer right across the street, a Suzuki dealer. Well, I went in and
I think I know where you're going.
The delivery charge was $850. And I offered to bring them back and forth across the street for $50 a car. They wouldn't go for it, so I left.
You didn't buy it then, right?
No way.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Well, that's how ridiculous it gets, isn't it? Phil, that's how ridiculous.
You can see through it. You can see through it. Just walk, go to someplace else.
Well, the point is, the more we talk about this and make fun of it at the expense of certain car manufacturers, are they not going to come around? And I mean, they talk to each other. Why couldn't they have some kind of universal way of dealing with this the same way, for example, the Canadian government is dealing with all the cars that come across the border in the same way? Why all these various and sundry tactics here?
I don't know why they don't change their rules and why they just don't play on a level field. I think probably it's because each company looks at things differently. They don't have that much of a standard except when they're dealing with the government, not when they're dealing with customers.
Yeah.
And overall, it's a real jungle, and it doesn't have to be that way.
So, again, that website is youcanimport.com, right?
With a U.
With a U.
Import.com.
As in U-Haul.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. And hopefully people, if they're really in the market to do that. I mean, is it a hassle? Beyond the price, are there other hassles that maybe might come up unexpected? I mean, you know, you want to get the car for the right price, but if the difference is only, and in some of the small, with some of the cheaper cars, the price differential wasn't that high. Is there a point at which it isn't worth doing that?
Yeah, I would say any car that sells normally between $15,000 and $18,000, and here I'll give Honda credit, you don't see that much of a difference, which is fine. You're looking at a Civic or even some of the more expensive vehicles. But, you know, shows like your own, Dale, I have to tell you, last time I was on the air talking about this, I singled out Porsche because it was way overpriced, like maybe 20-some thousand dollars. 2 weeks later, they brought the price down about that much.
Well, but that's what it takes, doesn't it? It takes finger-wagging and talking about these things to clear up some of these totally unfair situations.
Well, that's right, and sometimes you think that car companies and dealers and others, when they do these little, I call them scams, you can make them stop only through telling other people on the air.
But my point in asking the question was, if the price differential is only $1,000 or so, it really wouldn't be worth it, would it, to buy the car south of the border because, well, you'd probably eat up that money in other costs.
Well, number one, that's right. You pay less in taxes, though. Remember,
that's true.
Across the border. And you're using the vehicle across the border if you're like some people who stay down in Florida or in Arizona and they use it most, let's say, 6 months out of the year.
You got an awful lot of things you got to take into account if you're going to do that. True enough. Thank you very much, Phil, for all your time and all your great advice.
Okay.
All right. Take care now. That's Phil Edmonston, the Lemonade author, who is pretty involved in this whole notion of cars going for two different prices, depending upon which side of the border you are on. And youcanimport.com is a place to start, Phil is suggesting. Doesn't necessarily mean that's the website you want to deal with, but it'll at least give you the information that you will need to make up your own mind about whether or not you want to do that. If you're a snowbird and you spend half the year south of the border and half year here. It's a whole different set of circumstances. If you just spend 12 months in Canada and want a car you can bring back and just drive in this country, mainly, another different set of circumstances. Remember, almost all the car companies treat these sales differently and treat the honoring of the warranties differently as well. So there's no one-size-fits-all in this case.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.